This is a Storage Switzerland podcast.
Hi, I'm Charlie Hodges, Digital Media Specialist for Storage Switzerland. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. We're going to discuss data protection and what to expect from the next generation solutions. You know, data is growing not only in terms of capacity, but also in terms of value. The data process needs to evolve not only to meet the recovery demands of the enterprise, but it also needs to become more intelligent so that the value of data can be successfully mined. No other process in the data center has the opportunity to know more about the data in that enterprise than the backup process. To discuss what the next generation backup solutions might be, well, we're joined by George Crump, founder of Storage Switzerland, and Scott Baker, the director of enterprise data protection from HP's data protection division. George, when we say that backup solutions have the best opportunity to mine data for information, what does that mean?
Well, Charlie, that's a great question. You know, as we've looked at ways to classify and organize and optimize data for a variety of different reasons, mine it for future value, things like that, that one of the big questions has been, okay, how do I get all of my data to the thing that's going to tell me what my data is? And if you think about it, the data protection process has that happening automatically. We've got to get data to the data protection process so it's protected. So the data protection process is an ideal place to do it. The challenge has been is very few companies have the scale and robustness in their data protection or backup software architecture to be able to actually mine that data.
Scott, how can backup best take advantage of this tremendous opportunity to understand so much of the enterprise data set?
Well, I think simply put, the backup process needs to become more intelligent. Now, I believe that there are two forms of intelligence, though, that we need to separate and understand. The first is really analyzing how the backup infrastructure is being used in an effort to really optimize the recovery process and enable the IT leaders to be a lot more strategic in how they plan that process for the protection and retention of the organizational data. And the second form of intelligence is in analyzing the data that is being backed up as a form of discovery, really to equate a referential value or determine its probability of reuse so that the data itself can be used appropriately and pulled back into operational status when necessary. I think both forms of intelligence in those cases, the goal is really to incorporate data-driven decision-making into the organization itself, while creating a data protection strategy and infrastructure that's just as agile as the rest of the data center is becoming, so that it can adapt for future needs and future organizational changes.
George, armed with this intelligence, what can the backup process tell enterprises about their data?
What we really can get out of this, it comes in a couple of phases, but I think the immediate one, and really probably the one that's most pressing, is we can improve the accuracy of backup by analyzing this information. For example, we can set priorities now on specific jobs or groups of jobs, and we can analyze that data to make sure it's being protected properly. We can identify data that isn't being protected properly. It just gives us a whole wealth of information. And really, at the end of the day, you kind of look at these processes almost as triage. The thing that's the most immediate and most pressing is getting the backup job complete and making sure we can recover the right data at the right time. And that's what this intelligence is going to enable us to do.
Scott, what else?
Yeah, so building on what George had just said, I think that the use of these operational analytics in the backup process really is going to drive three key benefits to the organization. The first is hindsight, really being able to understand what has happened by drilling into correlated information that's essentially stored in a backup data warehouse, if you will. And I kind of refer to this as backcasting, where the goal is to combine correlation with causation so that you can standardize on, you know, which works effectively within the organization and then more quickly remediate issues as you discover them. And that leads into that second key benefit, which is insight. So really understanding how one part of the backup process relates to another by using these analytics to drive real-time visualizations of the overall infrastructure and use visual cues to understand, I guess the easiest way to say this is to really establish a backup and recovery operations center, kind of like a network operations center, but really giving you an opportunity to see what's actually happening in real time and making changes as quickly as possible. And the last and probably the most exciting and most important to me is corporate foresight. And that's the ability for this intelligence to be mined in such a way so that you can run modeling or what-if-based scenarios to really understand what would happen if I did whatever that thing would be. Especially around the backup and recovery process, where often you have to react to problems, whether that's data loss or infrastructure needs, things that tend to occur outside of the planned events of the day. So those are the three key benefits that I would really point to in the what else question.
Beyond intelligence, what else do we see happening in the data protection market? George?
I think there's really two things that kind of work together, and I think it drives to really what this intelligence is all about. The first is backup has always kind of been the Rodney Dangerfield of the IT thing. It was kind of the job that got assigned to the new guy. Well, people are now beginning to understand there's too much value in this data that you've got to really protect it. There's case after case after case of people going back and using old information to create new products or new services or offer new capabilities. So this data has now got to be protected so the first copy can get back as fast as possible, and the long-term copy can be retained in a highly data integrity type of fashion. And so what we're seeing as a result of that is, and probably the big change that we're seeing is kind of a convergence on the market where there's no longer these separate processes of backup, archive, and replication. They all are kind of intermixed now, and you need to be able to, you know, to use Scott's word, be able to kind of really forecast out and say, okay, this is my data set that needs to come back now. This is the data set I need to keep for a very long time. I might never need to restore it, but if I do, it's got to work. And then the ability to understand the correlation between those two data sets.
Scott?
Gosh, it's really hard to follow a Rodney Dangerfield reference. I wish I could I could impersonate him a little bit better than I can. But I think George is spot on with his reference to convergence with backup and recovery. You know, when you combine with that archive to be able to do discovery, along with replication to really address the availability piece of this, that's when you have a total package. You know, convergence allows an organization to standardize their data protection process with a unified approach that will better support the notion of automated tiering of protected information based on its probability that it's going to be reused in the future. And you tie that in conjunction with the retention requirements of the organization itself. And I think, you know, below that, there tends to be a little bit of divergence as well. And I don't mean to, you know, to counteract what had just been said, but I mean, this is the movement by which that converged solution has to be able to communicate with targets that are no longer traditional backup and archive kinds of devices. They have to broaden out to include any kind of storage, JBOD, direct attached, network attached, SAN attached, and also in any location, the core, the edge, an on-prem cloud solution, a hosted solution, a public cloud, you know, and more importantly, for any kind of workload. So, you know, we're definitely seeing that convergence at the top layer to address backup, recovery, archive, and then the replication for availability in the long run.
Scott, how do you see backup hardware changing?
I believe that the future of backup and recovery is really going to be software focused. And from a hardware perspective, I think we're going to see both of these products go the route of virtualization, where that data protection software layer is going to be used to create a form of abstraction over the various backup targets, using standard points of integrations or programming interfaces, et cetera, to take full advantage of the hardware capabilities while also creating a very agnostic backup and recovery layer to support the movement of data to any form of media, disk, tape, cloud, and any location, core, edge, colo, hosted, whatever you may have. But we're going to see that separation between, you know, the software layer and the hardware layer to make the mobility of information much easier to align with the service level agreements that have been negotiated.
George, anything you'd like to add?
I think as you start to look at that separation or that abstraction, I think Scott's dead on there. And I think what happens very interestingly in hardware, because we're seeing this happen right now in primary storage with terms like software-defined storage and storage virtualization, is that the quality and the capabilities of the hardware itself can now stand on its own two feet, right? And so you're not buying substandard hardware just to get these cool software features, because you can now select the exact software you want. Now the hardware has to sort of stand on its own two feet and solve specific problems. And that's where the ability to do things like in, you know, Scott had mentioned disk. Well, the ability to ingest data at a very high rate becomes important. The ability to scale becomes very important. Availability becomes increasingly important because now we're counting on this thing for more than just backups. So all of those things start to tie in together. And I think that what we actually end up seeing as a result of software abstraction is that companies that can innovate in hardware still see a lot of traction within the market because now they can kind of be judged as a standalone entity.
Scott, obviously HP is a big player in this market. Can you give us a quick overview of your solutions and strategy?
Sure thing, Charlie. You know, our conversations to this point on the podcast have really focused on where HP is investing in backup and recovery in the long run. You know, last year we announced our adaptive backup and recovery framework, and we've already had two product releases into it. Our framework is simple. It's all around protect, analyze, and visualize. With our data protection engine, many of you will know as Data Protector, we deliver application-aware, zero-downtime backups and instant recovery for more than 11 mission-critical applications, with more than 14 of the most commonly deployed operating systems. And I mean that from the perspective of physically and virtually, with support for integrated support for four of those leading hypervisors. You know, equally important in this transition, you know, HP is really looking at trying to create that agnostic backup and recovery layer. We really are going to focus deep on the integrations into the HP storage line, but for heterogeneous environments, we're really moving into more of an extensible snapshot management framework so that we can dynamically add support for third-party players as they get released or as our customers require these kinds of supports. That second layer, that analyze, that's our analytics bus. We introduced HP Backup Navigator. It's one of the products that's continually analyzing that backup and recovery process and building up that backup warehouse, if you will. We use 75 key performance indexes, and the product ships with 90 standard interactive reports that really provide users with that trending gap analysis, what-if-based scenario modeling that I had mentioned before. And this really sets the stage for later sort of feature evolutions around automation. So kind of think VMware distributed resource scheduling, but for backup. And that's pretty exciting for me. You know, finally, we also created a visualization layer so that we could extend the data protection awareness into tools such as Microsoft System Center Operations Manager, really driving real-time monitoring and analysis into the backup and recovery infrastructure. We can use visual cues to allow administrators to always be aware of the real-time health and status of their data protector environment. And if a problem does arrive, they can use one-click assistive remediation to solve common issues. And for those that require even more manual intervention, there's an entire knowledge base that's built into it and right at their fingertips to describe the problem, the symptoms that led up to it, and recommendations on how to resolve it before they have to pick up and call the HP support line. So this is the future backup and recovery from HP's perspective and really what we're driving at. For all I know, in the next year or so, when you and I talk again, we'll have to extend, protect, analyze, and visualize to also include optimize as we really drive toward that automation piece of it. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really, really do appreciate it.
Scott Baker, Director of Enterprise Data Protection from HP. Thanks for being here, George Crump. I'd like to thank you for joining us on the podcast as well. And to learn more about HP data protection, go to adaptivebackup.com. That's adaptive-backup.com. Or if you're on the Storage Swiss page, you can just click on the link below. Thanks for joining us on the Storage Podcast.
For more, go to storageswiss.com.